Welcome to the Beauty in Battle podcast, where we talk about winning in marriage by waging a war. I'm Jason Benham. I've got my girlfriend slash wife, Tori Benham, with me, and we are here to talk to you about how Satan tries to get you to fight face-to-face with your spouse, but God designed you to fight shoulder-to-shoulder against Satan so that you can win in your marriage. Fighting together draws you together. We cannot wait to jump in. So here we go. So today is a fun one. We're going to talk about questions for connection. And I've split this into three parts. There are three questions you need to ask yourself about your spouse and how you're going to connect deeper with your spouse. Five questions that you need to ask your spouse just one time. Mm-hmm. These are just good questions to ask one time. And then five questions that you need to ask your spouse every week.
Yeah. I love this because one, I've had different couples reaching out like, what are some questions? Like we've talked about curiosity and how important curiosity is in marriage to get to know your spouse at a different level, to keep growing in that, to keep asking questions. And I get that. It's like, well, what questions do we ask? Like sometimes you need a little help with just knowing what questions to ask. So this will be helpful to you guys just to have some in your bag.
Yes. And I'm going to play our song. I've got a song pulled up for you guys. You're going to like it, but I'm going to wait just a second to play it. Okay. Because I'm going to introduce it to you in a little bit of a different way. All right, so let's look at the first three questions that you're going to ask yourself. Okay, so these are things that you need to be continually asking yourself about your spouse. Now, what do I mean by that? Here are the questions that you're going to ask. Okay, what's going on? So if I'm sitting here thinking to myself, I'm driving home from work and I'm thinking about Tori and I'm thinking, okay, what's going on in her life right now? It's important for you to be in their daily routine to understand what is going on. So I'm thinking, what's going on with Tori right now? Okay. Question number two, what is she feeling? So what's going on? Like, what are they doing? Mm-hmm. The actual thing. Okay. Number two, what could she be feeling right now? This is where you've got to get into the emotion of your spouse. And it's not just about how they're feeling. It's about what they're feeling. And that's important because that helps you to be more specific. Okay. Not just, oh, she might be happy. Well, just get a little deeper than that. Mm-hmm. You know, she's overjoyed because she's hanging out with her friends right now. So what's going on? She's hanging out with her friends at the beach, which you do need to do that more, Tor. Okay. How about that?
That sounds fun.
Yeah. What is she feeling? And then the third question is, what is she thinking? Okay. So if this is Tori, she'd be saying, okay, what's going on with Jason right now? She's asking herself this question. You know, today, if she thinks about me in the middle of the day, what's going on with Jason? What's he got going? He's got lots of meetings. Okay. What could he be feeling right now? Well, it could be overwhelmed. It could be a little stressed, you know, depending on how the meetings go. Okay. And I wonder what Jason's thinking. Mm. Okay. Now those three questions are really important to ask yourself before you get into asking questions about your spouse. And why? Why is it important to ask these three questions? What's going on? What are they feeling? What are they thinking? Because it tunes you into your spouse.
Yeah.
It really gets you guys on the same frequency.
That's so good. Because I think so many times our lives are so busy that we're not thinking about anything but what's right before us or what's happening around, you know, like responding to our kids or responding to the day. Like, right? Like, and so it gets me thinking outside of myself a little bit.
Yeah. It's so important too. And this is where I'm going to introduce our song. Okay. Because I remember one of our very first speaking engagements that we had together. We had a few before this, but one of the first speaking engagements that Tori and I had together where we were going to be videoed, we're going to be on the big stage and there was lights and stuff. We were going to speak at the Refuge Church on our Beauty and Battle book. And we were going to do a 2-part series on that. And Tori was really nervous. And I was actually nervous because, you know, it's easy for me to go speak in places all over. But then if you have to come home and you have to speak in front of all your friends, you know, it's just a little more nerve wracking.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
And so Tori, I could tell she was nervous. And I remember we woke up that morning and she was spending time with the Lord. I was spending time with the Lord. We got together, we got dressed, and then we took off, got in the truck to go to the Refuge Church. And as we were driving, I remember thinking, okay, what's going on right now? Okay. We're driving to go speak at the Refuge Church and there's, I don't know how many people were there, 300,
I don't know,
you know, however many couples were there. What is Tori feeling right now? She's feeling really nervous. She's feeling nervous. And what could she be thinking? She's thinking she'd rather not be doing this.
Yeah. I would take it a step further. I don't think nervous. It was scared to death. Like, I wasn't just nervous. I was like, this, I don't know. It was a big hurdle.
But even explaining this, I know that our listeners, you're thinking, I would be freaked out too. You know, you're speaking in front of 300 people that you know, and you're on a stage with lights and it's video and all this kind of stuff. And so I remember thinking about what Tori was feeling and thinking at that moment. And I was like, okay, I know what to do. I said, I need to break down this wall of nervousness or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so I popped open this song that happens to be one of Tori's and my favorite, kind of upbeat love songs. And it's called Still Falling for You by Ellie Goulding. Okay. And it's just such a fun song, Still Falling for You by Ellie Goulding. And I remember playing this for Tori, and
it did
next
help.
Thing I know,
it did. We were both kind of just dancing.
Yeah. We were both just jamming out,
trying to get our minds off of the nerves.
And we started having fun together. Listen to this. Such a cool song. So anyway, I played that and it just gets faster and faster. And it's like a little bit of a dance song.
Yeah.
That's a love song. And I remember playing that for Tori, and I could see her kind of moving a little bit. Then I was moving. And then mm-hmm. next thing you know, we pull in the parking lot. We're jamming out.
Yeah.
And it's like, we're not like all this serious stuff anymore and getting all nervous.
It was more like, okay, we're doing this together. This is fun. Like it shifted the mindset. It shifted the mood. Yeah. Music is a powerful tool.
Yeah. And I can just, there are the number of times where I have not thought about what's going on right now. What is Tori feeling? What is she thinking? And that hasn't even entered my mind. I'm only thinking about myself. You know what? That never ended up being in a good place for Tori and I. Mm-hmm. And so, but on that day it worked. And so that's why you want to have that little grid, those three questions, ask yourself before you ask your spouse. Now let's jump into five questions that we want you to spend some time. Do this on your next date night. Okay. Here are five questions you're going to ask one time. These questions are so fun. And what Tori and I are going to do is we're going to answer them together right here on air.
We have not gone over them. So this is going to be live.
Yeah. Five questions. So Tori and I, let's pretend we're on date night tour. Here we are. We're eating like our old school Panera Bread, where we'd split a meal and then ask him to give us a massive baguette because we didn't want to spend money on a meal.
Yes.
It was 22 years ago. Let's not go back to that.
That was fun though. That was good. That was a good memory.
Five questions. Okay. Here's question number one. Okay. This is what you want to ask your spouse. What things do I do or can I do to make you feel most loved? Say, what things do I do or can I do to make you feel most loved? Tori, I'm asking you. You answer
first.
Start? Yep.
When you help me, like my love language has morphed into acts of service more and more as, you know, the years have passed by. That was not my primary one, but, that makes me feel really loved when you jump in and help in any way. You've become like a really good helper. You're thinking about ways to kind of like pitch in with the house and with the kids. And that makes me feel really protected because it helps me not to feel so overwhelmed. And it just makes like the fact that you're thinking about ways to help me makes me feel super loved. And
oh, that's cool. Can I just say one of mine then?
Yeah.
Off of yours. It's when you reward me for helping. That makes me feel loved.
Yeah, it is true. We are reward. Like we respond well to reward.
Everybody does. Yeah.
I was actually just listening to Dr. Amen talk about parenting. He's the brain specialist, and he said like the aha moment for him in his parenting was he was having a really hard time with one of his kids and connecting with them. And they were just not responding very well to him. And he was really like going at this parenting, like in a very, you know, corrective way, like trying to parent and correct. And he ended up taking his son on a trip to Disney World. And there was like this penguin show, and the lady that was the trainer for the penguin had this thing like just eating out of her hands. Like everything that she did, this penguin was like happy to obey and just like responded so incredibly well. And they were like amazed at how well trained this penguin was.
Yeah.
And he went up to her afterwards and he was like, that is just truly incredible. How do you train this thing? And she, and basically she said, a lot of affirmation and a lot of rewards. And it was like this aha moment for him that he was really going the opposite way. It was punishment. And, you know, and that was the way that he was, you know, correcting his child, always telling what he was doing wrong, what he needed to do better. Right. And he was just not responding. And she's, and this penguin was, you know, was this incredibly well-trained penguin from, from affirmation and through reward. And so wives, it's the truth.
Your husband's your penguin. Your husband is your penguin.
It is true though. It's like, if he does something sweet and kind, be a rewarder of good behavior. Like use affirmation and use a reward system. And we all know what the greatest, one of the greatest rewards for our husbands are.
Physical touch.
Yeah.
Yeah. And even tell him like, if you do help me with the, you know, the kids and get them all bathed and I don't know, help with the dishes or whatever, then maybe, you know, tonight
might be a little fun.
Yeah. Okay. I like that.
Okay. So then also just, we're, I guess, you know, you're, I was thinking about like what makes me feel super loved when you're, you go out of town often and you always send me really sweet, texts, just like affirming. And I think that's when you kind of like start really thinking about the things that you appreciate in me. Cause I get these texts, like, I really appreciate the fact that you did this, this, and this. I really, you know, and I don't know, just, it makes me feel so valued and, you know, that the little things that I'm doing that maybe nobody in the world notices, you notice and value. That's cool. Then also, and maybe this comes on the heels of a weekend that I was feeling this, it makes me feel really loved when you give me space sometimes when I'm feeling like I'm working through something.
Yeah.
I think at the beginning of our relationship, it didn't feel safe as safe to feel emotions and to kind of go through, like, you know, different, you know, like if I'm in a bad mood, for an example, felt like maybe it wasn't that safe to feel those things. And like, you'd be like, what is going on? What's wrong with you? Right. Like, but now you've learned me really well. And you're like, you just kind of give me some space to kind of,
that's a tough one for guys.
It is hard. And like, so this weekend I like, we've never even talked about this yet, but I felt one on like Sunday, I was starting to feel like grumpy, just like in a bad mood.
Grumpy gills.
Yeah. And I knew it just, it was just me. Like, I knew it was probably a certain time of the month where I was just feeling grumpy. Yeah. And, you just kind of gave me my space. I could tell you've just learned me well and given me some space and not making it like this big deal. And then, you know, I worked through it and you were right back to, we were right back to where we were. It wasn't like you had taken offense to it.
Yeah.
And that, I don't know, I think it's that safe, the safety that I felt in that. Like, you know, some days I'm going to be not as chipper, not as, you know, super sweet or whatever. And it's okay. Like, you're going to, like, we're going to get right back in the next day.
You know? Yeah.
So I guess it was, it's like that safety in, oh, he knows that I'm feeling a little bit grumpy. So he's just giving me a little bit of space and then we're right back at it. I don't know. Yeah. That makes me feel really loved.
Oh, that's cool. Now, thank you for that. And here's the cool part is, you know, even when she's saying that, I'm sitting here thinking, okay, I need to help more. I need to send more of those texts. I need, you know what I'm saying? So I think even having this conversation, it's actually coaching your spouse at the same time.
Yeah.
But I do kind of feel bad. This is like one of those things, you know, where it's like Valentine's Day and the girl like gives this massively elaborate gift, well thought through gift. And the guy just like hands her like a gift card to a, I don't know.
You haven't thought this one through.
No, I've thought it through, but I'm a dude. I'm like looking at this. Okay. What makes me feel most loved? So this is a guy response. You know, it's just so simple. I'm like, when you make meals for me and when you reach out and hold my hand, like those two things. Yeah. But I started thinking about that. I was like, huh, what does make me feel? And I'm legit. Like, it actually feels good when I come home and you've actually thought about my appetite and you put something together to satisfy my appetite, you know, like, it's just such a dude thing.
Yeah.
And you could see that with our two boys, Trey and Jake, you know, if mom, like Tori, when she's taking care of them and making food and stuff, they totally feel connected to her.
Yeah.
You know, and then that second thing, just very simple. It's like if we're laying in bed watching something and you reach over and grab my hand, it's not me reaching over. Mm-hmm. That actually makes you feel loved.
Oh,
so there you go, Tor. How about that?
So it's kind of like acts of service and
physical touch.
Physical touch.
There we go. Okay. All right. Now, that's question number one. What things do I do or can I do to make you feel most loved? Now, we won't go as long on all the other questions because we'll get through this with you. Here's question number two. What activity do we do that you cherish the most and why? Mm. What activity do we do that you cherish the most and why? Tor?
You want me to start?
Yep.
I love our walks together. That's very connecting to me.
It's the same thing I put.
Okay.
Our walks together. Okay.
And I love date night. I'm always like, hey, let's have a date.
Yeah.
And then exchanging massages. This is something that we do like sometimes when we're watching movies.
A little flick.
Yeah. Like we'll give foot massage, head massage. We've gotten like all the things. I just bought this little like head massager thing online and we'll like exchange. It's this, I don't even know. It's this little device. Yeah. It's actually supposed to stimulate hair growth. That's
it
what
is.
So we're we're getting older.
Jamming
so.
It on top of my head.
It has like a red light and it feels amazing.
Yeah.
And then we have the Theragun.
That Theragun is awesome.
Which is great for us because we do CrossFit and our traps are always so tight. And
hey,
so,
rule of thumb with a Theragun, if you guys are watching a show at the same time and you're doing a Theragun on your traps and then they move up to your neck, it will wobble your eyes to a point where you can't watch the movie anymore.
It makes my face itchy.
Really?
Like, yeah. I'm always like, oh.
I've never Theragunned your face.
Yeah, but when you're doing my neck.
Wow.
But anyways, it feels really great. And then we'll give like foot massages. I love doing that because
that's
makes
awesome.
Me feel close to you. And then, okay.
Wow, you really got a list here, Tor. I like this. I just listed while you're looking for your fifth and sixth points. What activity do you do the most that you cherish the most and why? What I put is obviously our long walks. And then I put when we try new things together.
Yeah.
Like not date night, just at our two favorites, E-Noodles and E's, you know, those two places. Like if we're going to go somewhere different or if Lundy is going to, because she's our youngest, if she's going to a camp or something for a few days. And this has happened several times. And I'm like, Tor, let's go up to the Northeast and go to a beach or something. And she's like, yeah, let's do it. Anytime we do something like that, that's new and fun and exciting. Yeah. I'm like, heck yeah.
I actually put that one on my list too, is our adventures going north every summer. Like that's been something we've really had so much fun doing. And looking back at those trips, we're like, that was so fun.
Yeah,
and
we got to do that more.
Like I'm from Connecticut. And we live in North Carolina, so the climate is very different. It's very hot here in the summer. And I love going north in the summer. Like last year, we went to Maine.
Yeah, we went to Bar Harbor, Maine. You guys should try that.
In July, and the nights were 60 degrees.
You got to wear a sweatshirt.
It was just I love just change. I love that kind of change. I love summer nights that are cool. And
we went to Newport, Rhode Island once, Narragansett, Rhode Island, which was really cool. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Torrington, Connecticut. But there's so many cool places up north, and you don't really think about vacationing up north in the summer. But take a couple days up there. You guys will love it.
The beaches look different. I just love change. I love things that are different.
Yeah. Okay. So question number three. What is something romantic I've done for you that you liked?
You're going to laugh at this because it's probably not going to be the answer you're expecting. When you like in the last few months, you have started making lunches for Jake in the morning. And
that makes sense.
That makes
though.
Me feel so that to me is so romantic because it's like you know that it's something that I take responsibility for, but yet you are stepping in and you're doing something just to, because you also, are giving me that time in the morning to like spend time with the Lord and to do my journaling or whatever. And it just, I don't know. It just, to me, that's so romantic.
And if you remember the definition of romance that, I think Jimmy Evans was the first guy that gave this, you know, definition. Cause you think romance is like just candlelight and soft music and total darkness, you know, kind of thing, but it's not. It's romance is doing something, that you know that your spouse wants or needs without being asked.
Oh, yeah. So, that's so good.
If I do something that I know that you would want or need and you're not asking me to do it, but I do it, you receive it as romance.
That's so interesting, because my next thing was not choosing a movie that you know will
freak you out.
Yeah, will wear on my nervous system. Like, yeah. Jason and I are very like different in the way that like he could watch a scary movie and just go right to bed and be totally fine. I'm like very overly sensitive to things. And so if it's scary, if it's weird and any, I don't know, like I just am super sensitive to things.
Yeah.
Things scare me pretty easily.
You're a sissy, basically, and what you're saying.
As you know, I think like as you have begun, like we'll be like looking at a preview and you'll say, oh, we're not going to watch that, because you know I'm like, whereas maybe a couple years ago, it's like, oh, that's what it'll be so good. I'm like, I don't know. Like that might make me like stay up or like think for the next 5 weeks that I'm going to die. Like,
yeah. You know? Well, too, that also has something to do with you. You know, so Tori's a 9 on the Enneagram. And the problem with a 9 is that you're not very assertive. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of wives have some 9 in them in terms of just letting their husband kind of choose. And then you sit back and you're not really assertive.
Yeah.
But whenever you actually spoke up and you're like, okay, honey, I really do feel in my body, mm-hmm. like not good when we watch movies where the dude's heads are getting chopped off.
Yes. Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that makes it. So you got a little assertive and then I was like, oh,
and it makes, okay, I think it just makes, honestly, what the reason it feels romantic is because I feel protected. And it's like, I think it's hard to like be in a romantic place or like to feel romantic when you're in a protective place, when you're trying to self protect. And so I think like on the weekends when you're like, hey, let's not watch that. That's going to freak you out. That just feels like, oh my goodness, he's protecting me. And it just lets my guard down. I feel so much more relaxed. I feel so much more open to romance because I'm like, I'm safe. I'm relaxed. You know, like that's so important for a woman to receive romance, is to be in that like mindset of being protected.
I like it. Okay. So what's something romantic that I've done that you've liked? Now, what's something romantic that you've done that I've liked? Here's something it's a little crazy. And it's just very simple, again, as a dude's response. I like when, if I've ever said, and this is so funny, if I've ever said to Tori, oh, I like those pants or I like that shirt, next day, she's got like 3 of them. You know, like you did this the other day with some workout pants, I think from Vuori or something, which actually Vuori's got some really good stuff. Yeah. I'm like, I really like those workout pants. And then like 3 days later, you had like 3 or 4 more pair. And honestly, I think it was more subconscious. I didn't even think about this until I was reading this question. I was like, what is something Tori's done that felt romantic? That, and that was it. That's what popped out of my head. Aww. Is that you actually wanted, knew that I liked it, and you went and got it.
Because it was for you.
Yes, it that's felt, right. Because I liked it, you wore it.
Yeah, that's cool.
You know? So anyway, all right, so that's question number 3. So let me give you the 3 questions so far, and then we're going to jump into question number 4. So what things do I do for you, or can I do to make you feel most loved? What activity do we do together that you cherish the most, and why? What is something romantic I've done for you that you liked? And number 4, what 3 things have you done in our marriage that you're most proud of? Mm. I think this is important. So Tori, this is a question I'm asking you. What 3 things have you done in our marriage that you're most proud of?
Okay, so I was thinking both of us have done, but
I actually like that.
Yeah.
What 3 things have we done together?
And it was our kids, number 1. Like,
yes, that was my number 1 too.
Proud that, like, that was something that we dreamed about, you know, obviously even before we even met, I dreamed about having kids.
Yep.
And then, so to me, it's my greatest accomplishment, my greatest joy. I'm super proud of
that. I'm with
you
on that.
And, you know, it was not easy. There was a lot of suffering literally through giving birth and then in parenting and raising kids. Like, it's not hard. It's not easy, but yet it's the most rewarding by far thing that we've ever done. And I'm super proud of, you know, our family and then our home. I feel really proud of what we have done to our home to make it feel like home and a place of rest. And I just put so much value in that. Like, I want our home to be a place that we all feel very comfortable. And like, I think that we've put a lot of value in that, like
even
our, the lighting in our home, like we want it to be like
low level lighting, low level
lighting. And like, we really like try to appeal to the senses.
Yeah.
And, I don't know. I love home. Yeah. I love being home.
Like Tori made a great dinner last night, and I knew, I was like, we need Italian cooking music.
Yes. Yeah.
We put on some Italian cooking music on Pandora.
So I guess it's like the culture in the atmosphere of our home. Like, yeah. I'm really proud of what we've, cause we've worked really hard at that.
Right.
And so, and it's been something that we've dreamed together doing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I think that has drawn us really close, because we're like, hey, like what's like, we're always adding on to things in our home to make it like the fire pit outside. So that's another gathering place for our family. And you know, the cabana.
We got a lot of gathering like, places here.
Yeah. Like all the things are, we dream about because we want more space to gather and to have fun together and to be, you know, comfortable and all those things. Yeah. So anyways, I'm proud of that.
Okay. And your third
and
thing?
And then, working together. Like that was something that we, I really wondered for a long time if it would ever happen. And you've done a really good job of making it happen, because you're the activator.
That's awesome. Okay. So three things that I'm proud of that, that we've done together. And I like the way that you change that. It's like, what three things have we done in our marriage that you're most proud of? Okay. So that's that last, that's the fourth question. I'm proud, obviously, that we made a family together. I put that one down there. I'm very proud that we're working together, because that was always a vision of what we have. And then the third thing I actually put that I'm proud of is that we went against what the culture, you know, because the culture with this whole patriarchy thing, like the woman is not supposed to stay at home. The husband, look, who's to say that the woman has to stay at home and the man has to go to work, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you and I, we decided early on in our marriage, you're going to stay home with the kids. I'm going to go off to work. We're going to do this until our kids are out of, you know, homeschool or whatever we're doing. I'm actually proud that we went that route, even though the culture is kind of screaming against that.
Yeah. Now. Yeah. And it's not to say like that's the only way. I think what you're saying though is that it was very much against the norms.
The culture.
It was
yeah.
like everyone was like, that's stupid. Like, don't, you know, like.
Yeah, that's what old school people
that's
do.
That's so old school.
Like, okay.
But we felt like that was what God was calling us to.
Yeah.
And we stuck it out. We stayed the course because that was what we felt was what God was putting together for us. And it worked really well for us because it was really out of obedience to the Lord. And of course, we're not saying like our story is going to be different than every, like what it's God is telling you is going to be very different than what he's telling us. But that's what we felt.
Especially now with what's going on in the economy. Do you know, they did a study, and I forget which study I read, where one income households almost can't make it anymore.
Yeah.
You got to have two income household. Like, so you got to, everybody's got to pull their weight, you know, kind of thing. And I just feel bad because it does put couples in a position where when both of you work, you have to go do some stuff with the kids. And so all of that. But one thing I'm proud of is that, you know, by God's grace, and I give him credit, we were able to do that. And it worked out great. Now our kids are very connected. And and so I'm proud of that. But so we made a family together and did those things. So that was what three things have we done in our marriage that you're most proud of? And question number five, and this is one we're not going to answer. Okay. What do I do that's the biggest turn on to you? That's question number five. Tori and I are not going to answer that, but you can ask your spouse that. Okay. So those are the five questions that you ask one time. Okay. What things do I do or can I do to make you feel most loved? What activity do we do that you cherish the most and why? What is something romantic I've done for you that you liked? What three things have we done in our marriage that you're most proud of? And what do I do that's the biggest turn on for you? Okay. You're going to ask these questions once, go on a date night, hit it. Okay. Now here are five questions, and we won't go as deep on these, that you need to ask your spouse every week. Okay. And the goal is to make sure these are non-tactical questions. It's not, what are the kids doing kind of thing. No, it's not that. Okay, these are five questions that are important. So if you want to incorporate these into your date night rhythm, here are five questions that will really help you. All right, question number one, on a scale of 1 to 10, how connected do you feel to me and why? Mm-hmm. Scale of 1 to 10.
That's a great question to ask.
You know?
On a weekly basis, being really consistent to ask that question.
And
how connected do you feel to me this week?
And that question will open up everything. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, I feel like a 6. And you're like, oh, I feel like a nine. Mm-hmm. Well, if there's a disparagement, then figure out what's going on. Yeah. You feel a nine. Why? She feels a six. Why?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, okay, so what could make that a 10? What, you know, what could I do to help bring that level, that number up?
Yep. Okay. Question number two is for those who have kids. It's how are things going between you and the kids?
Yeah.
So I would ask Tori, how are things going between you and the kids? Mm-hmm. You know, when Allie was 16, it was not going great. So I need to talk with her about that. And then she would need to turn that question around. How is it going with you and the kids? Like, like how am I doing with Allie? You know, Allie at 16, I was doing fine with her.
Yeah.
You know? And so it's really important that you guys get into each other's worlds and, when it comes to the kids.
And being open to feedback. I just, you know, it can feel really offensive, especially when you're in the heat of it. I remember there being a lot of times where I'm like, I was not feeling good in my relationship with Allie. We were struggling, you know, in the teenage years, and Jason would be like, he would correct me. He'd be like, you know, when she did this, you responded like this. Like, I could see why she would. You really got to be careful with the way that your face looks when you're when you're talking.
Yeah.
And it's so hard to hear that, but it was like, it really helped me a lot because it's hard to see yourself, right? Like you're so offended and you're so hurt that it's hard to see what you can do to change.
Yeah.
But your spouse can see it. And if you let them in, even though it's hard, it can really help things. And it really did help.
Yeah.
And now Allie and I are BFFs.
And if you have an RFF, that's a problem. Resting frown face.
Yeah.
Where you don't realize you're just listening, but you don't realize you look like you're upset. Like that's important for your spouse. Okay. So question number one, on a scale of 1 to 10, how connected do you feel to me and why? Question two, how are things going between you and the kids? Question number three, how are things going between you and your friends? Mm-hmm. This is important.
Yeah.
Like, you know, wife, if you're going to ask your husband, how are things going between you and your work colleagues? Mm-hmm. Or if you can just go overall, how are things going at work? Like, right. Cause we work around people that our spouse is not around.
Yeah.
How are things going?
Yeah.
So it's important. How are things going with your friends? I think for a guy to ask his wife that, it's really important. That's probably going to be more important than for her to ask it to him. For her, she can twist it to how are things going with your work colleagues or whatever. But for the guy to be able to say, how are things going between you and your friends? Because it's important for us to make sure that our spouse is fostering good friendships, friendships that bring them life.
Yeah, exactly. So good.
You know? Okay. Question number four, how are you feeling overall? Hmm. But don't just get into how you're feeling. Try to get into what you're feeling, you know, where you label the emotion. It's like, well, I'm feeling pretty good. Okay. Really? Like, what does that mean? Like, let's go a little bit deeper. Well, you know what I've been feeling really thankful lately. See, now that gets a little bit deeper. Thankful for what?
Yeah.
You know, like, so the goal is to get into your spouse's feelings and get them talking about their feelings. Wives, it'll be a little harder for you to get your husbands to do this, but with some practice, how are you feeling overall? Oh, I'm fine. I'm great. Let's go a little bit deeper. Like, what specific emotions have you felt in the last week?
Yeah.
And they'll probably say, oh, I don't really know. But if you help them, you continue to kind of get, you want to see, you know, have you felt anger? Mm-hmm. Have you felt pressure? Have you felt overwhelmed?
Yeah.
Have you felt?
And I think for some people, there's this thing called the emotion wheel. And I think for some people, that's really helpful because it's just really hard for them to put a word to the feeling.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people that print out this big emotion wheel, and it just makes it a little simpler. You just look at it. You're like, which one of these are you feeling?
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh, that's kind of, and you point to it.
And
like,
it helps you get to root emotions. So just Google emotion wheel. It's really cool. You'll like that. Okay. And number five, the most important question. This is really good. What has the Lord been speaking to you? Okay. What has the Lord been speaking to you? And then you get into your spouse's spiritual life.
Yeah.
And if you're like, well, I don't know. Well, try to get to a point where you do know.
And I think it's added accountability.
Yeah.
Too. It's like, if you're like, I don't know what he's speaking. It's like, well, I better start asking him. What are you saying to me, God? Yeah. It's like, it's that added accountability. I need to be asking the Lord to speak. What do you want to say to me? What do you need to say to me today?
Yes.
I'm listening. And like we need that every day.
And that's why we have to be in the scripture every day. You know, get into a Bible reading plan. Doesn't matter, New Testament in a year, whole Bible in a year, Old Testament, it doesn't matter. Get on a Bible reading plan because God will always speak to you through what you read, okay? And it's not always very clear, but he is speaking. He's always speaking. So here are the five questions again you want to ask each week. Okay. On a scale of 1 to 10, how connected do you feel to me and why? How are things going between you and the kids? How are things going between you and your friends? You know, you can also, how are things going at work? How are you feeling overall? Try to get into what you're feeling. And then what has the Lord been speaking to you? Those questions are really solid, and that will give you a good roadmap. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to copy these questions and put them into the podcast notes for you. So,
oh, that's really nice of you.
Isn't
that's
it?
It's going to be very helpful. Right? Okay, so I'm going to share a recipe with you guys, but this is going to be very different from every week. It's not an edible recipe, but it is a recipe nonetheless. It is... drum roll, please.
Okay. Well, I don't know how to push that button on this thing.
Bathroom spray.
Bathroom spray.
I had to, yeah, we, I think that I've been, I think I started this. When did we go to Wales? Because it was Aaron Lee that
showed me. Yeah, it was like 8 years ago.
8 years ago. So I've been making this for 8 years.
Wow.
And it lasts for a really long time. But we had gone to Wales to visit some missionary friends, and Aaron Lee, had this bathroom spray. It smelled amazing in her bathroom. And it's
super, I think they lived in like some old house and they didn't have ventilation or something.
It was the cutest little Welsh house. It had the best part about it was it had a door.
A half door.
When you opened the upper half, it was facing the creek. Well, I guess it was kind of like not facing the creek, but you could see a little bit better. It was just so pretty. Anyways, I loved that house. But it's really simple, and I have it in every bathroom in our house, and it's like a, you know, a clean. So you guys have heard of like poopery.
Poopery? What?
That's kind of like
embarrassing.
I know. That's what like a lot of people have in their bathrooms, but it's like full of toxins and
smells
stuff.
Terrible.
When you're spraying something, like you're breathing that in, that's not healthy for you. And so anyways, this is a healthy version. You can buy, I bought these amber glass bottles from Amazon that come with stickers so you can label and, you know, write, you know, what did I write on them?
I don't remember. I love you.
Bathroom spray.
Use this with reserve, without reserve.
I forget what I wrote now, but I'll do a little video on Jason and Tori.
So eat you can better. Please, dear Lord,
spray.
It shouldn't smell lot. This bad.
Yeah. but anyways, I don't know. It's like bathroom spray or something. I don't remember how I labeled it, but you basically, it's so easy. You just take a half. So you buy these amber or any spray bottle that you want. It has to be glass because you're using essential oils, and you fill half of it with distilled water and half of it with witch hazel. And then 20 drops of your favorite essential oil, which mine is this one called Purification by Young Living. And it smells really good. And it's supposed to like kind of take away the bad smell.
Okay.
Purify the bad smell.
Got it.
But you can do I think she did like mostly lavender and I can't remember. But anyways, you could do your favorite spray and it smells amazing. And it's just looks super pretty.
Yeah.
And... that bottle lasts for like 2 years.
No, it lasts a minute.
It lasts a long time and you just keep refilling it. Super easy. And I'll share the recipe with you guys on Jason Tori.
Yeah.
Basically, I just shared it with you. It's very simple. Half of the bottle is distilled water, half of it witch hazel, 20 drops of your favorite essential oil. And
done.
The bathroom's gonna be smelling pretty good.
I had a health nut tell me one time, he said, if you're really eating the right way for your particular body, your poop shouldn't stink.
Oh.
And I was like, what? I didn't even know that was a thing.
Okay.
I don't know if that's true or not, but it ain't working for me.
I was gonna say,
I must be eating
you eat
the
pretty
wrong
healthy.
Thing.
I don't know.
Yeah. All right. Hey, gang, thanks for hanging out with us. I got the questions in the notes. If you wanna go in and you can copy and paste those into your own notes in your iPhone or whatever, or your Droid. But, you know, not many people really have Droids anymore, do they?
Some people do.
I don't know.
Don't knock it.
Don't knock it. So,
all right, guys.
Thanks for hanging out with us. This was fun.
Yes. We'll see you guys soon.
All right. See you.